The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza is nearly 5 days old and so far still intact. Now comes the really hard part. Next month should see both sides enter indirect talks brokered by Egypt to tackle some big issues. The agenda includes the Palestinians' demand for an international airport in Gaza. As NPR's Philip Reeves reports from Gaza City, they used to have one.
All that's left of Gaza International Airport today is what I'm looking at, which is four or five big but ruined buildings, lots of bomb damage, shrapnel damage, and scrub growing in the sand, and bits of trash that have been tossed here.
It wasn't always like this here. Let's switch back the clock some 16 years to the 14th of December 1998. President Bill Clinton is in Gaza meeting the then leader of the Palestinians, Yasser Arafat. Clinton's just taken part in a big ceremony.
Today, I had the privilege of cutting the ribbon on the international airport. Hillary and I, along with Chairman and Mrs. Arafat, celebrated a place that will become a magnet for planes from throughout the Middle East and beyond.
The opening that day of Gaza's international airport was a huge occasion. The peace process between the Palestinians and Israelis was painfully slow, but back then it did seem to be going somewhere. The airport was to be a big step towards a brighter future.
A future in which Palestinians can travel directly to the far corners of the world. A future in which it is easier and cheaper to bring materials, technology, and expertise in and out of Gaza.
It was quite a day. We'll all remember it forever. The Palestinian people felt they'd secured one of the symbols of sovereignty, and this was being witnessed by the President of the United States.
Salman Abu Halib was Director General of Gaza's airport at the time. He remembers being in tears that day.
Great happiness. This was the very first airport in the history of the Palestinian people. Now we had an airport and our own planes.
The planes he's talking about were from Palestinian Airlines. The airline had two Dutch-made Fokker 50s, plus a Boeing 727 gifted by a Saudi prince. The Palestinians dancing with joy at the opening of Gaza Airport had greater ambitions. The airport's design made that clear. It had a big VIP terminal crowned with a golden dome. The passenger hall had archways, huge glass windows, crystal chandeliers, and mosaics of brightly coloured tiles. That's all gone.
So I'm entering what was the passenger terminal. What's striking about it is that it is huge. I mean, you could fit 10 tennis courts in here easily, but it is a total wreck. There are huge chunks of concrete lying all over the place. The floor is just a carpet of rubble. Their roof is gone completely.
Israel first bombed Gaza Airport in 2001 in answer to Palestinian militant attacks on Israelis in the West Bank. The second Palestinian intifada had erupted a few months earlier. Israel's F-16s later rocketed the runway again and knocked down the tower. Palestinian Airlines shifted operations to Egypt and Jordan and still operate a few flights today. There were no flights from Gaza ever again, says Abu Halib.
Nothing. No.
Much of the runway remained intact for years. Enough for 7,000 kids to gather back in 2010 and win a place in the Guinness Book of Records by bouncing basketballs. Then some Palestinians came along and broke up the runway with hammers and drills. The price of building materials has soared because of Israel's blockade of Gaza. People needed the rubble to sell. Even now, the wreckage of Gaza's airport still yields up a few dollars. It was shelled during the recent fighting. Some kids are here, with a donkey and cart, collecting fresh scrap. The nearly 2 million inhabitants of Gaza have only two ways of getting out. They can cross the southern border, controlled by Egypt, or they can travel via Israel. Both options involve much time and red tape, and only a limited number get permission. When it worked, Gaza Airport made everything much easier. With the war over, Gazans are clearing some of the devastation caused by Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire. Everyone knows getting Israel to agree to an airport will be difficult. Hamas is in charge of Gaza. Israel considers Hamas a terrorist organization and wants it to disarm. Israel's right wing will pounce on any concession that seems to reward Hamas for rocket fire. Israel's also worried an airport and the seaport that the Palestinians also want would be used to smuggle in weapons. Yet Palestinian political analyst Mokaima Abu Sada thinks an agreement on the airport is not completely impossible.
We feel that with the intervention of Egypt, the intervention of the international community, we might be able to get an Israeli approval, but in return, Israel will have to get 100% guarantees that its security will not be threatened by the construction of a Palestinian airport.
At the ruins of Gaza Airport, as he scavenges for scrap, Ibrahim Adwan is sceptical. He's 14. He's never seen planes flying out of here. He doesn't think he will anytime soon. In fact, he's expecting the worst.
People abroad have a life, but here it's meaningless. After one or two months, there will just be a war again.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Gaza.